Tweet at TodaySOR.
Lots and lots of tweets, texts and emails about John Delaney. We'll bring you some of those after 11. Tomorrow evening, Professor Fergal Malone, Chairman of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland and Consultant in Obstetrics and Gynaecology at the Rotunda Hospital, will be giving a talk about the importance of screening during pregnancy and also the latest innovations in this area. He's with me now. Thank you very much indeed for coming in, Professor Malone. Before we talk about, there's an astonishing new development to do with DNA, but before we come to that, just update us or remind us, what's available now for pregnant women by way of screening?
Well, by way of screening, it's actually quite limited and is a bit of a postcode lottery, actually. All pregnant women have no problem getting an initial dating scan at around 8 or 9 or 10 weeks, and all 19 maternity units in Ireland will be able to provide that. But for a general, what we call detailed anatomy scan at 20 weeks, which would be pretty much considered the international standard, probably only about half of maternity units actually have the resources to provide that. So if you happen to be lucky enough to be in one of the catchment areas of those maternity hospitals, you'll get what they call the big scan at 20 weeks. But if you happen to be in one of the other maternity hospitals that don't have the resources for that, you won't.
And is that big scan available to all women, women with medical cards, for instance?
Again, it's a bit of a postcode lottery. If your maternity hospital in your catchment area has it, you will. It doesn't matter whether you're medical card holder or not. So, for example, all three Dublin maternity hospitals, thankfully, have resources in place. They've managed to carve out so everyone gets an anomaly scan, for example, in Dublin. But it's not necessarily that way throughout the country.
And what do women do who would feel they need and they want the reassurance of a 20-week scan if they're not within the particular catchment area?
Well, if they happen to have a history that might be suspicious for something, they will get referred up. But that's a minority. The vast majority of patients don't have a particular red flag in their history that might dictate or suggest a need. So if they want a scan, they'll have to source it privately themselves.
And the advantages then of the 20-week scan is primarily about reassurance, is it not?
Yeah, the vast majority of patients, thankfully, their fetus is developing healthy. There's no problem. But unfortunately, somewhere around 2 or 3% of fetuses have something significant wrong. And it's very important for us as obstetricians to identify that in advance so we can make sure that those women deliver in the right hospital at the right time with the right specialist standing by.
Now, tell me about this new development, this DNA screening.
Well, we've known for years, well, everyone knows from watching CSI on TV, that floating around in your blood is DNA. And in the mother's blood is obviously the mother's DNA. But now we've noticed that floating around in her blood is also some of the baby's DNA. So there are now a couple of clever clog laboratories in California have figured out how to separate out baby's DNA from mother's DNA in just a blood sample taken from the mother's arm as early as 9 or 10 weeks of pregnancy.
And what kind of information then can be gleaned from those samples?
Well, the most common chromosome problems or genetic problems like Down syndrome, Edwards syndrome, can be identified to the 99.9% level from just a blood sample at 9 weeks gestation, 9 weeks of pregnancy. The other thing, if the parent wants it, that can be identified is gender. We've noticed that about 50% of Irish patients want to know their baby's gender, but 50%, no thank you.
You can tell that at 9 weeks from a blood sample from the mother.
From a blood sample of the mother, a DNA test, testing for the baby's DNA. Think of it like a needle in a haystack. There's minuscule amounts of baby's DNA floating around in the mother's bloodstream, and they've now figured out a way, not quite 100%, but 99.9% level to separate that out.
That is an awesome capacity to be able to identify so early in a pregnancy the sex and also any issues to do with the baby's well-being. So, for instance, we've heard, and I think it's been prevalent enough, that women would use and amniocentesis as a way of checking for, say, for Downs. You're saying this would render something like that as being wholly irrelevant or unnecessary?
Well, not quite wholly irrelevant. It will greatly reduce the need for amniocentesis. If someone unfortunately got bad news on the DNA test that said, listen, it looks highly likely that the baby has Down syndrome, we would still recommend the amniocentesis to give you that 100% certainty. So I wouldn't say that amniocentesis, which is an invasive test that has risk, will become completely irrelevant. But I can tell you in the last 12 months, we have radically reduced reduce the number of amniocentesis and invasive procedures that we're doing because of the efficiency of the DNA test.
How widely available is this new DNA screening?
Well, this is another beauty of it. Because it's just a blood sample from the mother, it could actually be done in your local GP's office and actually sent up to one of the Dublin laboratories for processing and sending off to California. So it's not like the fancy ultrasound scans where you have to drive from Letterkenny to Dublin or from Kerry to Dublin. It could actually be done in your local GP's office. Obviously, the GP or your local hospital would have to sign up to get the blood transferred up to Dublin, and then it gets couriered off to California.
So it still goes to California?
Yeah, because of patent issues, etc., it's done, the test itself is actually done in California, and then the results are back in typically about 10 days.
And are there GPs able to provide this service right now?
There are GPs today throughout Ireland are providing this service, and the blood's come up to us in Dublin. We process it, heads off, FedEx the next day, it's off to California the next day, and you get your results in 10 days.
There is a catch by way of a cost.
Yeah, unfortunately, like the big scan we talked about earlier, where there's not even resources for that universally, these sort of screening tests are considered opt-in. So in other words, a patient has to ask for it. There are no ring-fenced funds in the maternity services for screening tests like this. So a patient has to decide for themselves, is this something I want? Do I perceive myself to be at sufficiently high risk for problems like this that I want this test? And if a person perceives themselves to be at risk, they'll ask for it and they can get it.
And the cost?
Somewhere between 500 and 800 euros for the blood test. Now, again, we've seen that when dealing with American laboratories, that's fairly typical. But I think like most new technologies, we would have every expectation that as time goes on, we'll see that cost, like all new technologies, should fall significantly.
Now, one of the advantages of, I presume it's more to do with the screening than the DNA test, you can identify issues that are likely to arise by way of emergency delivery or the need for them, and you can actually intervene to treat babies in the womb. Explain some of that.
Yeah, so the whole goal or the point of screening is to give reassurance, but it's also to find those few cases of fetal abnormalities that we want to make sure we can optimize the care when the baby is born. You don't want the baby with a severe heart defect delivered at 2 a.m. in a regional hospital on a weekend and then having the Air Corps come out and have to helicopter the baby in a critical condition up to Crumlin. You want that baby to be delivered at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning in the Rotunda or in the Coombe or in Hollow Street with all the cardiologists standing by. And that can only be achieved if you have screening in the first place. We've also identified various conditions that we can actually intervene when the baby's in the womb. For example, diaphragmatic hernia, a hole in your diaphragm, that's a critically serious condition that if that's not identified and the baby is born, many of those babies die. We now have a way of putting a balloon in the baby's throat while it's still in the womb and to try and fix diaphragmatic hernia.
Now, at what stage do you conduct, is that from the 20-week screening that you get that kind of information?
Yeah, so that kind of information or with heart defects that you might intervene for, that's from the 20-week scan, and then you might intervene a few weeks after that. We're also treating babies, fetuses with anemia who have low blood count. We can give the baby a blood transfusion in the womb. So there's an increasing number of fetal conditions that we can actually treat. It's not just about identifying babies and then making difficult decisions about what to do with the pregnancy. It's actually about treating and improving the health of babies.
But surely there's an overwhelming argument in favour of 100% of pregnant women getting the 20-week screening as opposed to the haphazard patchwork postcode arrangement that there is at the present time, given the advantages of it.
Well, there's no doubt that there's an overwhelming argument. And indeed, in virtually all other developed countries, it is considered standard of care, whether that's the United Kingdom, France, Australia, Canada, the US, everybody gets an anomaly scan.
And would you regard that as a priority, say, if scarce resources are to be allocated, as a priority to be given the resources ahead of the 9-week DNA screening?
Oh, I think most obstetricians would agree with that, Sean. Absolutely. The number one priority, get the anomaly scan freely available to everyone, and then go with the DNA samples.
Now, details. You're giving a talk for members of the public tomorrow evening at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. That's on Stephen's Green. It's free, but people have to register, do they?
It's free. The people would just need to register just so that they know the numbers attending. It's limited to 300, and I'm told there's nearly 300 registered already. But it'll be free tomorrow evening.
And can people follow it online?
Yes, it'll be a RCSI posts a YouTube of broadcast of all of their lectures.
Okay, well, look, we'll leave it there. Professor Fergal Malone, Chairman of the RCSI and Consultant in Obstetrics and Gynecology at the Rotunda. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.